My name is Max.
My name is Yuri Lowenthal.
This guy is named Travis Sintel.
It is! He is! And you are awaited.
You are awaited, Yuri.
Yes,
is
Travis.
A Mad Max Fury Road film podcast.
Holy shit.
Where two men with not that much to do in their lives get together in a man cave and watch 4 minutes at a time of the film Mad Max Fury Road. And then they geek out about it. They talk about it, they smile, they high five, they go through it frame by frame and revel in the cinematic goodness, the intellectual pleasures, and the optical delusions and that occur. Valhalla!
Valhalla, everyone!
Valhalla!
This is one of those rare episodes that we actually are adhering to the format of 4 minutes at a time.
These days. Yuri, I have good news and bad news.
Yes, what is the good news?
And which would you like
give
first?
I always take the bad news first.
Okay, I'll give you the bad news first. The bad news is this. That was the second to last action sequence we're ever going to cover in this film.
That's terrifying and depressing and sad and makes me feel uneasy inside, maybe like I'm going to throw up. Really?
Yes.
But, you know, on the other hand, we've had so much
in this film.
Now, here's the thing. If I want to refer to this as our year on the Fury Road...
Oh!
We have to...
Do a year.
We have to come up... We have to do 52 episodes, right?
Yeah.
40 was last week.
Okay.
Mark Mangini was
doable.
40. So 12 more.
Easy.
We've only got, what, 3 left in the movie?
What are we at? 144? What is this at?
Where are we at?
144.
144. So we have 4 more after this if we do the credits.
Mm-hmm.
If we break it down that way. Joe Lynch said he'd come back for the credits.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Joe, if you're listening, I'm gonna hold you to that.
Hello, Joe.
Hello, Joe. So we've gotta come up with 8 more episodes besides the format that still our Fury Road.
Well, right. I think we should do one episode that is a recap of the whole movie episode, where we can put together some of these thoughts we've bandied about.
Do you want to play the whole movie through with the commentary? And
well, that's
have
a
that
separate
sort of,
episode.
So that's a separate episode.
I think.
So we watch the movie as a whole, okay?
We do a commentary.
We watch
episode.
One with the commentary.
Yep. We have a couple guest episodes coming up.
We have a few. We're still trying to get as many guests as we can. We've had some great ones. We're still trying to get some more great ones.
We've had a lead.
It's just lining up with
listeners. We've had some bites on some cool people.
We have, and it's just it's a matter of scheduling for busy, busy people. We still have to do an episode on the comics.
Mm-hmm. And I think the video game is a good idea. I was convinced
which exists in this world.
That was a selling point. I had told Yuri I don't feel comfortable necessarily stepping outside of the Mad Max Fury Road universe to comment on Mad Max as a whole, as a cultural phenomenon. It's not what we're trying to do. It's not what probably we're good at, and people have done it smarter and better. But when Yuri informed me that I was, in fact, wrong and the game existed in this Mad Max Fury Road universe, I said to myself, yes, please. I would like to do that.
I'm glad that I swung you over.
Well, you swung me, as you so often do, with facts.
With right. Hey, you know, if we
guess who was misinformed again, guys? This guy.
Hey, if we've learned anything about this election, the facts don't mean a thing.
Do you want the good news?
Yes. Oh, right. Wait, what was the bad news? Oh, the bad news was that we're almost done.
The bad news was that this segment is the second to last action sequence
that
we're going to cover in the film.
Shit.
The good news is, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So, I really think... We're peaking in a nice way.
There are a lot of moving parts in this.
A lot of moving parts.
I'm going to get them all out
same.
Of order.
No. Before I forget, can I tell you one thing?
Mm-hmm.
The wife who escaped to a Morton Joe's truck.
Yes.
Her name is Cheeto. Is that right? I'm so proud of myself for getting this, and I didn't want to forget it, and now maybe it's wrong.
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah!
That was a good high five.
I was fucking pumped.
Surprisingly manly.
Do you think you think it's right, really?
I do think it's right.
All right, we'll get to that. I just wanted to go on record saying I fucking knew it before Yuri said it.
Isn't she the wife? Let me...
Isn't she
the wife that tries to run earlier?
Oh, yeah.
And so this is a turn for her that I had forgotten about.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to that. But her name is Cheeto is all I want to say. Is that right?
Yeah.
Listeners, fuck yourselves. I know what's up. I know what's up with the names of the characters in the film I've been watching for 40 weeks. Who's the sucker now?
Can I, you know, I would like to, first say how fucking awesome Mark Mangini was. I feel blessed that we
that
got
that guy rules.
Right?
Yeah. Guys, you can probably tell from his voice.
If you don't listen to the guest episodes because you're like, I just want to hear them talk about the movie and the 4 minutes, go back and listen to that last episode.
That's a good one. One of our best, if not our best, episodes, just in terms of like covering a lot of sort of filmmaking content. It's mm-hmm. interesting on a filmmaking perspective and also a specific Mad Max Fury Road concept.
Yeah.
Our content.
It does open a whole new window into the movie.
Yeah. Also, what a voice on that guy.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, you're a professional voiceover artist. You have a good voice. That guy has got a soothing, sort of warm bath of a voice.
Yeah. Yeah, he really does. And he's won an Oscar.
He's actually won 135 films.
I should have done a little more research. It might not have been his first Oscar.
Oh, did we say first Oscar?
No, I didn't. I just said, well, congratulations on your Oscar.
Yeah, yeah. So he knew what you're talking about.
Okay.
I did zero research, so I'm happy that you did some.
Right. You know, every now and then. Every now and then I'll do that. I would also like to say that I feel an excitement coming from our listeners in a more vocal way. Via yes. Twitter, via email. I'm really liking this.
I want to say one thing about that.
Yes.
Thank you, and I'm sorry for just telling you guys to fuck off.
Wow, we rolled around to the apology really quick.
I really feel bad about it, especially because you're right. They're being really generous, kind.
But you're not going to have to apologize for not posting the cat tattoo picture, right?
Listen,
I'm not going to let that go.
I know you shouldn't. It's okay. But we only had four. I counted them all up. Four.
What did we need? Ten.
Ten. Well, if you count your wife, five.
Guys. I know there are more of you out there. Just, you know, just for us. Don't even do it for yourself. Just go on Twitter. Just say, we want to see the cat photo.
Maybe Donald Trump could grab me
by it. You are awaited. Right, yeah, maybe. You know, something. I don't know. Anyway, that's all we ask is just get five more so that I can see this fucking photograph.
Yeah, I want to say, as a means of digging into some other business, mm-hmm. we have a lot of business we have to cover because of some things we've gotten wrong and some things we've gotten right.
We've gotten things wrong?
No, Yuri. Not more than twice an episode, I would say. Okay. Average.
I'd say much more than twice an episode.
Right. This particular one has, I think, a very reasonable explanation. It's something that neither of us caught vocally, mm-hmm. that then one of our listeners,
yes.
Paul, or not listeners,
yes.
I guess one of our guests, Paul Cantrell, mm-hmm. caught whilst watching the subtitles,
right.
because every show since The Wire and every movie since The Wire, he has
watched
with the subtitles.
Paul's a fucking weirdo.
He has genius. You know what it is? He's a linguistics guy, and he's caught things we didn't catch.
Well, obviously.
So, and he gets a point here.
So go into it.
What happens here is we were confused because we were told on the special Dante podcast crossover episode, the Divined Comedy episode, that someone yells, mediocre Morsov.
Yeah.
Morsov is a guy, if you recall, who gets shot in the face, picks up the double boomsticks, and does this badass...
Sprays himself with chrome.
Right.
It's the first time we see that.
Yeah.
It's, for me, one of my favorite, absolute top five favorite moments of the film.
Oh, it's incredible. And he does a Swan Lake sort of ballet dive onto this car,
which gets better every time I watch
it. It's sick. Guys, it's legit sick.
Legit sick.
Legit sick.
L-S.
We didn't hear this, I think, because we're so wrapped up in the beauty of the moment.
And so much is going on.
So much is going on, but someone shouts, mediocre Morsov, or
right.
Morsov mediocre. Mm-hmm. And Paul caught this because he had the subtitles on,
mm-hmm.
and because he said repeatedly, it's very obvious if you're listening.
Right.
Which I chose to ignore.
I will.
According to the subtitles, it's Slit who says it. And we've had this explained to us by none other than Mark Sexton.
Yes, thank you, Mark Sexton, again, for coming in to save the day.
I love that we have
sort of an inside line. Like, when we have a question, we're like, who knows what that could mean? And then Mark's like, this is exactly what it means. And I was there, so...
Yeah, except no one knows why the guys speak Russian, I've determined.
Right, that's true. That's true. We ask that question comes up a lot.
I literally asked the sound designer of the film, hey, why do they speak Russian? He's like, George said it was a good idea.
Right.
No one really asked him why.
Right.
Which makes me so happy that people are like, if Russian, sure. George, whatever you say, bud.
Makes sense.
So
yeah.
So Slit says it, and the explanation
Slit says it, and Mark says, Mark explains that Slit is that asshole toxic friend of yours that even when you're doing something cool tries to drag it down into the dirt.
Nice shot, jerk.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So yeah. Slit...
You still suck!
Yeah, I still don't like you.
I know you're dead. Yeah. But yeah, no way you went to Valhalla.
But in a way, like, I really, the more I thought about that moment, I think it's really, really smart and really, really clever, unsurprisingly, because it is, it adds weight to a point I've made on previous episodes of this podcast, which is we're living in a world where everyone is ready and willing to die, and no one thinks that fearfully about death. Mm-hmm. So much so, it's such a minor thing in certain ways, that Slit feels comfortable mocking someone else's death with a grin on his face. He's just like, yeah, you fucking suck. It's like a guy misses a, or sinks a shot in a basketball game. That's right. The intensity with which he's taking this death.
Oh, it's from across the court.
Yeah.
Like 3 point, like, I don't know anything about basketball.
Oh, nice shot.
The best shot you could come up with. And he's like, oh yeah, you still suck.
Yeah, exactly. That's, but the cavalier attitude almost with which he approaches that moment is indicative of both the character itself, which does a lot of character work that I was unaware of, mm-hmm. and also in the world, I think it's a world-building beat, too, where these guys are all ready to die. They don't fucking give a shit.
Yeah.
They're ready.
We've got word out to Josh Hellman, who plays Slit, and I would love to ask him that ourselves.
Yeah.
All right.
You've said it. Let's manifest it.
All right. Manifesting.
Has anyone read The Secret?
Hey, you guys.
If you've read The Secret,
manifest the shit out of Josh Hellman
that
for us. Yeah.
And also whatever else you guys want to manifest for us.
Yeah, manifest fucking Hugh Kingsburn and George Miller. And
I think Tom Hardy and Charlize Theron should do a joint episode. And by that, I mean
they smoke a joint.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We should absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, does anybody know those guys? You just send them our way.
Hit them up. Give it to them. What else?
Let's reach high. We're approaching the end.
Yeah.
We might as well.
Let's swing for the fences.
Right?
Let's not be mediocre, Yuri. Let's be fucking Valhalla-esque.
Let's be fucking, yeah. Okay.
Okay, so more business. Let's cover this because we have a lot of material to get to here this episode.
Okay, what's the other business?
We had another email we wanted to go over. Did we?
Oh, Christian, thanks for sending the email.
Received well, appreciated.
Yeah, we have an email address now. If you don't like social media or you have a long thing that you can't limit to 140 characters, you can email us at youareawaited@gmail.com, as Christian did, and went over a bunch of stuff that we had talked about, his theories on it, and that's really one of the things that made me bring up, I love the conversation that's happening.
Yeah, I really appreciate all the input.
I mean, thanks to Ian, obviously, every time, for all time.
He's a wicked pisser.
Now you just went to Boston. You went, like, not even close to Australia.
That was pretty good. That's pretty good.
Boston, Australia. Australia.
Australia.
That was terrible.
I went to Australia.
But I love that us thinking about it is giving you guys a vent to think about it and put your thoughts out.
Yeah, and we read every single tweet and email, and we're into it. And so and
maybe not right away, but we'll get to it.
Definitely not right away, but we definitely get to it, and we talk about them, and we sort of mull theories over in our heads,
mm-hmm.
And talk them through.
I love it.
All right, should we?
I think we might as well. All right, let's get to it. A lot of moving parts in this. People jumping from thing to thing, and it's... So where we last left off...
Let me tie off the threads, and then you can pick up
the
new
thing.
Because we catch the ending bits of a couple loose things happening from the previous 4 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where we're at, Yuri.
Tell me.
Max, parentheses, Matt.
Who's that again?
He's our titular hero character. He's driving the People Eater's car.
Rig.
Is that the name of? Is there a name of that vehicle?
The People Eater's rig.
The Fat Man car.
I mean, it is a big. The Fat Man car. Okay, great.
He's driving the Fat Man car.
The Fatmobile.
The Fatmobile. That was so dumb. We're killing it on the comedy.
I know
today.
We are. Wow. This is where people stop listening. I just want to mark this as the day that people stop listening.
I texted Yuri on the way over. I'm like, do you have any coffee? He goes, no, will you pick me up one? And I'm like, I'm already here. Let's just do it. So that's where we're
so
at.
No coffee.
Attention wise. Okay. So anyway. We have noticed in previous episodes that there is one of the rigs is on fire.
Yes.
And we were having a hard time figuring out which one, because it turns out not any of the main players. It's a rig nearby that's on fire.
Well, it's the People Eaters.
It's the People Eaters. I'm wrong. It's the People Eaters one.
Right.
As this sort of sequence
starts. So he's driving a lit stick of dynamite.
He's driving a bomb. sees this, basically. Mm-hmm. Also, I should mention that right when, at the top of the sequence, the wives are saying, she's hurt real bad, you need to get over here, we don't know what to do, we're kind of freaking out.
And you can see it on her face.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the look of pain that they actually got for real, that Greg and Van Borsum said that she got her shoulder almost pulled out.
She doesn't look good.
She does not. It's you know, it's either class A acting on her part, which is something I'm familiar with her, or it's actual, true, real pain.
Do you think Donald Trump would find her attractive in that moment?
It's because I opened the gates. It's because I said, I started the political...
Asking a question.
No, he would not. He would not even think to grope her because she's got short hair.
Okay, good. So, motivated by two things, I would argue. Mm-hmm. Max jumps out the hood of the car, of the rig that he's jumped into recently, and does this pretty badass leap.
Well... Well, what does he do to keep the rig going?
Oh, I forgot. Yes.
Big,
he slams fat foot down onto gas pedal.
The fat foot, which we've established, and which Greg said, because Greg Van Borsum had to double the people eater.
So he was,
I don't know for that shot, but all I know is he said that fucking fat foot weighed.
What else do we see?
Whatever
just
it was
the
made
foot?
Of made you know, weighed like 100 pounds.
Because I wonder if that's actually his foot there. Because I don't know any other shot in the film where we just see the foot.
It's probably Greg. It's probably Greg in the... I have to get clearance. We have a potential guest coming on who's already sent me a photo, a behind-the-scenes photo from the shoot of Greg in the People Eater costume playing with his nipples through the little cutout nipple.
Why have I not seen this picture, Yuri?
I'll show it to you later. I didn't get... He sent it to me sort of... I don't know if it was in confidence or if he just wants me to post it. If it's totally
I'm
okay.
Questioning our
so
friendship.
So I'll ask.
Right now.
I know. Well, there are plenty of things that'll happen that'll make you question our friendship even more today. But so slams down the, and we get a view that was all too quick of the pedal. Now we've talked about how all the you know the props and little elements are so detailed, and how it's so beautiful that the accelerator pedal, the gas pedal for the war rig is one of those old
foot sizers
from shoe stores
for kids who don't remember these.
Right. Yeah. Cause I haven't seen one in a shoe store in a long time.
Yeah.
Just look it up on Wikipedia. But it was also very specific. You know, we talked about that before. Mark Mangini brought it up that each, you know, steering wheel represented something about the person driving or the vehicle itself.
Mm-hmm.
The accelerator pedal in the People Eaters rig was also decorated in a specific way. And from the brief glimpse that I got, we'd have to go back, and maybe we will, to freeze frame on it. But it looked like coins layered in there into a figure eight pattern.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he is the guy who counts the cost. So it could be related to that.
Almost certainly is.
Okay, good. Right. Good, because I barely got, I almost reached out to pause it. We can't do that when we're watching the film.
We don't do that.
We don't do that. You just gotta lumber through.
We lumber through 4 minutes at a time.
So anyway, he slams the fat foot down on there and gets out of the truck.
Mm-hmm.
Just in time, as it's sort of exploding from the back to the front. He leaps over to the war rig. In a badass fashion,
I mean,
as you mentioned. I mean, everything he... Let's think about it. Has he done anything in this film that is not badass?
We do a whole side episode trying to track
okay, that's
that
another
idea.
That's another episode.
Off the top of my head, no. I mean, I would say he gets... Every time he gets beat up, it's pretty
that's
badass.
That's my head.
That's not cool.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. That's my head is not cool.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway, so he's back on the war rig. Have they already yelled out to him, hey, she's not doing well?
Yes.
Okay. So he comes back to the war rig, and what happens immediately, as soon as he gets there?
Those fucking polecats.
Right?
They're real jerks, you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, here's what I've always thought. Cats in general are jerks, and the polecats are no different.
That is correct.
What's happening right now?
Is that why you had the tattoo? Is that why it was your face with the cat? Because
yeah,
you're a jerk?
Cats
or to
are
turn
jerks.
You into a jerk?
Well, I thought, first of all, guys, it's not a tattoo on me. It's of me.
No, of you, but your face
just
as
so
a cat.
People, yeah, so yeah. People understand. I think it was...
Guys, tell me you don't want to see this photo. We just need
for those
five
of you
people
tuning
to tweet
in,
and ask for it.
More recently,
do it for me.
A man lost a bet to me and had to get a tattoo of my face as a cat. life size on his lower back.
And that I still don't believe he went through with
that
it.
That tattoo happened. I have photographic evidence
of that. I just would have Welsh on that bet.
He didn't. I'm kind
and
of
I'm
impressed.
Sorry to all the Welsh people listening to this podcast. I did not mean to. Sorry, I'm still correcting myself on that one. I just recently found out.
I didn't even know it was Welsh. I thought it was Welsh. Slur. I didn't even know where it came from.
Yeah. So, anyway. My apologies. I love Wales.
Okay. So he gets polecatted.
He gets polecatted.
Straight up, which is awesome. Let's just be honest.
This is
so
a
now
great...
we got fucking the geography is. We got a war rig going. We got the Carmada behind it, sort of jockeying for position, trying to get in, knowing that we're coming up to the Motagot Pass up ahead. So everyone's kind of like trying to get in as fast as they can to sort of get up there.
Mm-hmm.
And Morton Joe specifically.
Right.
And Tom Hardy now is being attacked by this goddamn polecat. Polecat grabs him. It flips from one side, full rotation, not rotation, full extension.
For pendulum, yeah.
Penduluming. Yeah. Should we call it, I guess, full extension. Sure. It's been as far as it will go over the war rig. Grabs Tom Hardy, flips all the way back over to the opposite side.
Right.
And they're wrestling as they're going.
It's so beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
We've literally had a fight everywhere you could have a fight so far in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
On the vehicle, in the vehicle, you know, under the vehicle, on top of the vehicle. And now we're like, where's left to go? Let's fucking fight on one of those polecats.
And we have more places to fight coming up in this sequence, which are badass.
That is correct.
So then he's holding Tom Hardy's head just about an inch above the ground, moving 60 miles an hour, trying to smash his head
into the,
And Tom Hardy goes, ugh!
Yeah, he does. And apparently, as the story has it, Tom Hardy got up there and did the thing, and apparently has a fear of heights.
Yes.
And I guess, you know, George said, you okay, Tom? And he's like, let's just do this. You know? So badass yet again. But they're wrestling on there. He's about to get his head pressed into the fast-moving ground beneath them. And what does he do? He releases the guy's harness, and the guy goes
so great.
Under the wheels, which is great.
So smart.
But now the weight is off, so he starts going back the other way. Now he's still at the end of that, you know, polecat pole.
Unharnessed.
Unharnessed, but holding on. And then we get one of those iconic shots of the film as he's coming back across the top. You see in the background the People Eater's rig finally just detonating and exploding.
Huge explosion. And taking a bunch of cars with it as it goes. It's just this clusterfuck, this Carmada clusterfuck where everything's blowing up and there's wrecks.
Right. And it's a great vantage point, you know, to see the rest of what's sort of playing out behind them.
Let me ask you a question.
I
hesitate to do this.
Why? Why do you hesitate? Time,
because inarguably, it is one of the more badass shots of the film. As Mad Max coasts across the screen.
It's a trailer shot. It's in the trailer.
It's incredible. Mm-hmm. And there's fire behind it. It also feels to me like the jankiest CGI in the film.
Well, they definitely had to blend that.
Does it bug you? Is my other question. Because listen, it's fucking badass. I'm not knocking the shot. It's incredible. I don't even know how you do that otherwise. But it feels like a total green screen,
bug me.
It doesn't bug you. Have you noticed it before?
Yeah. But I've also watched the behind the scenes thing where they show the... You can sort of roll it back and forth and show it with and without before or after the effects.
Oh, is that one of the shots they've
done? Yeah, that's one of the shots that they had to composite.
Is it a green screen?
No, but I think it's like three different shots that they had. Composite. Like, they didn't have the truck behind him when he was coming across the top
of it. I specifically mean the fire shot, where he's coming across almost slow motion-y, and there's fire behind him. I love it. It's beautiful. I wouldn't have taken it out of the film. I'm not saying that at all. It just feels like, this isn't quite the same level of realism that... It always pulls me out. That's what I want to say.
Okay.
That's a shot always kind of like... You know, I'm still into it. I'm still stoked and pumped. But then I see that shot, and I'm like,
How long does it take you to get back into the film once it's passed? Because it's not a long
quarter
shot.
Of a millisecond.
Yeah. Okay. So fair enough.
I always stumble on it. That's what I mean to say. It doesn't break my stride, so to speak. But I stumble a little bit, and I think, well, this isn't up to the same visual standards as the other things. But the idea is so good, it makes it worthwhile. I think.
Yeah.
That felt about the right level of exchange, where I felt like you'd be like, it's fine, I noticed that, I don't care.
Yeah.
Is that where you're at?
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
It's fine.
We have those things.
No, I know. I'm a little more grumpy.
Accepting of it? No, you're grumpy.
Right? I mean, I think generally speaking.
Oh, generally, yeah.
You're always
more
accepting, and I'm more like.
Yeah, that's true.
But what about the button that's unbuttoned on his pants or whatever?
But we need that. We need your level of skepticism.
Oh, thanks, man. Nice of you to say.
Yeah.
And we need your generosity and kindness of spirit. Okay. I would have switched those two words if I had to do it again. Okay. Kindness and generosity of spirit. Okay, so...
So he's coming back over the top.
He's reaching out. He wants to grab the top of the war rig. He wants to get back in that truck so bad, but he can't. The momentum has been lost because there was two people when it went over the first time. He threw the weight off. Mm-hmm. He's one person coming back. It's not going to go. That's just physics, Yuri.
Right.
It's not going to go all the way back to the level it was at before.
Okay.
Because he's half the weight.
Right? So what does he do?
So what he does is he flips back the other way again, and this time...
Well, what's over there?
I'll tell you. I'm so glad you asked. The fucking Doof Warrior and his bitchin' music rig.
Yeah.
Shit's about to get crazy.
We get a lot of the Doof Warrior. We get arguably the most of, you know, Doof Warrior we've had in this segment.
I call it the Uber Doof segment.
The Uber Doof segment.
The Uber Doof segment. And I don't know about you, but every time this moment happens in the film, I get excited. Because even the first time you see it, you know he's about to fight that fucking guy.
Yeah, well, and tell me, from the very beginning, when you first saw the Doof Warrior and how awesome, like how it exploded everybody's head when you first see that, you're waiting for the whole movie just to see more of that.
Yeah.
You're like, I need more of that.
I've seen this movie 7 or 8 times, 9 times, start to finish now, and this sequence I actually watched, I don't want to say I cheated, but last week my friend was watching it for the first time and I sat down with him because I could not sit down with him.
No, it's one of those movies. You don't walk away from
it. I watched the last 45 minutes, so I've seen this sequence now twice in the last week.
Wow.
What I'm about to say, I mean very strongly, every frame of the Doof Warrior, I will watch it over and over again because I want to see more of it. And it feels like it just teases you.
He's a mystery.
He's a beautiful mystery.
He's a beautiful clusterfuck of a mystery.
Mad Max falls or jumps or, you know, gets himself onto the music rig next to the little...
The Doof Wagon.
The Doof Wagon. Thank you. Her name was Cheeto. next to the little drummer boys. And he goes over there, and he kind of like... The movie cuts away, cuts back a little bit, but I'm just going to do this part of this in one little run. He doesn't seem especially threatened at this point. He's like standing on the Doof Wagon, and he's kind of like, what's up? Like, what's going on here? This is kind of crazy. Some dude's drumming. They're not bugging me. This guy's playing guitar, might be blind, don't know what's up with him.
Right.
So he seems cool.
Because he's behind him, right? When he drops out of the truck, he's behind the Doof Wagon.
He's walking up behind him, next to that huge phalanx of speakers, the speaker stack. And
fat stacks.
Dope fat stacks. And then a guy pokes his head up with a little crossbow, and then shit goes crazy. Do you want to talk about that?
I can talk about that. Because he goes to shoot Max in the face.
Yep.
Luckily, that doesn't work.
No, because why? Because Max is a badass.
Right. Exactly. And thus begins the struggle. Now you've got a lot of things sort of coming together at once. You've got Max on the Doof Wagon.
Yes.
It begins to engage with the Doof Warrior and another guy fighting there. You've got Rictus, because the Giga Horse in Morton Joe's car is pulled up around and it's jockeying for position. They're banging back and forth between the war rig and that.
Let's take a second on that.
Okay.
Let's go bit by bit, because what happens now is we start to cross cut between multiple scenes. And so it helps to set them all up, I think. So what's happening here is we're coming into the narrowing of the canyon.
Yes.
Which we came out of earlier. This is where the Moto Goats are living.
Yes.
And
which is interesting because we cut to the Moto Goats sort of licking their wounds.
Yeah, hanging out. They're hanging out.
Yeah. Probably not expecting to see all of these guys coming back as soon as they...
Not again.
Right, exactly.
So Morton Joe, being a pretty decent tactician, this fella... realizes that if I can get ahead of them coming into this pass, they're going to be trapped.
Right.
So I'll get them.
I'll just slow them down because it's narrowing.
Yeah, it's going to narrow. If I'm in front, I got my people behind them, we can really pin them here. So they're jockeying side by side. The road is closing. Furiosa cranks that thing to the right and slams him. He cranks it back to the left, slamming her, and then pulls a little nitrous trigger, I guess is what it is.
Pull ahead.
Yeah, and then... and floors it. We get a nice, that iconic sort of Mad Max shot of the skull gear shift slamming towards the screen. He zooms ahead, effectively gets ahead of her, then slams on the brakes, and pow.
And takes out one of the two V8s, right?
In
the
war rig. Something V8, yeah.
Because I think that's what Nux says.
Yeah. And so the war rig smashes in the back of the Giga Horse, and they lose one of the engines. This is a bad situation.
This was a bad situation.
Okay, so that's one of the things we're cross-cutting between, right, which we'll come back to.
Right.
And then... Oh, to
like
be clear,
I said, I would get the order of all these things wrong.
Yeah, same.
For sure.
Rictus, by the way, is in the back of the Gigahorse, which, right, is going to come into play in a second. Right. Charlize Theron is driving the war rig, mm-hmm, at this point. Max is... Oh, this is important. Mm-hmm. Directly, so the order of events, the order of the cars is the Gigahorse, the war rig, and then the Doofwagon. That's right. The trio. And that, right, that becomes important because characters start to interplay between those three rigs. Right. So... Max is fighting this guy and using the Doof Warrior as a bit of a shield.
Yep.
And
slinging him around on his rubber band.
He takes the guitar. Doof Warrior goes flying on his rubber band harnesses, and Max slaps this dude across the face with the fire guitar.
Yeah.
And that sentence is the best sentence I've ever said.
It's true. Neither of us will ever say anything as cool as that again.
It's probably the coolest thing I've ever said.
Thanks, George Miller, for allowing, for guiding us to this moment in our lives.
Is it possible no one's ever said that sentence before
in the history of the world? You ever wonder that? You ever say a sentence, yeah, and you go, I'm the first person
just now
who's uttered... Yeah.
I feel like that probably just happened.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. But then a nice fight sequence starts. Well, another guy comes on the Doof Wagon, right, and they're fighting... And there's the Doof Warrior flopping about.
Right.
The speakers get a shot to them. They spark up. It's, right, all chaos, man.
It's all chaos. The Doof Warrior is, as we are presented with, you know, blind.
Yep.
All maybe he really knows how to do is play guitar.
Uh-huh.
I love that Mark Mangini told us that he remembers
Junkie XL.
Yeah, that Junkie, yeah, XL just playing the guitar out in the back. They're doing all the Doof stuff, Doof Warrior
so
stuff in
cool.
there.
Yeah. That dude's cool. Yeah. Will he come on the podcast?
We should ask
Mark to introduce us.
Oh, snap.
Hey, Mark.
You heard it
here first.
You're
not listening to this episode, but if you were, would you introduce it?
Right. Bouncing back and forth, we're getting more and more of the Doof Warrior, which is really all we ever wanted in the world.
In the world.
He's flailing because he doesn't have his guitar, and he doesn't know what to do, and he's blind, and he's probably never not had his guitar in his hands.
I love him.
Especially when he's out on a mission like this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he's... goofy to say the least, and is sort of the blind guy in the middle of this fight. It's you know, in to a certain extent, if it had gone on longer, would have been a comedy routine.
Yeah,
because you'd have these two guys fighting in, you know, and using the Doof Warrior, and Doof Warrior doesn't know what the fuck's going on.
You know what it is? It's fun.
Yeah,
like it's not funny. It's fucking fun though. Like everyone's like, if you watch this, you're having a good time. Like you're just like, fuck, this is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. In case you weren't having a good time before this.
Yeah,
which
I mean,
I find it hard to believe.
Yeah, it's like those undecided voters. Who are you?
Right, exactly.
You're not having a good time by this point. Who are you? Why are you still watching? Okay, so that's happening there. Max desperately wants to get onto the back of the war rig. That's where,
right,
he wants to go.
Right.
During this, Charlize Theron says to... So Nux says one of the V8s is down. And she goes, you're going to have to drive.
You have to drive, right.
I have to go. I'll slow him down.
Yeah, she knows that she has to go. Even in her injured state, she's still a badass.
She's the most equipped one to do it.
Right.
Max is gone. She doesn't,
right,
know where he is.
Right. Nux always fucks things up.
The wives are kind of not
the best
fighters.
And he's
the
only one who can drive, yeah.
Yeah, so she makes the right decision. She's super horribly injured. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm going to go take care of him, basically.
Right.
Because she knows if he's in front, they can't get through the pass.
Right. Right.
So
she has to remove
death.
That obstacle.
Yeah.
And she doesn't know where Max has gone.
Yeah, Max is...
So she's got to do it.
TBD.
Right.
So she gets out and climbs over...
Through the windshield.
Yeah. Does Cheetah go first? No, Cheetah goes after.
Cheetah goes after.
Right.
Wait. Now I'm not sure.
I know, same.
I'm not sure.
No, she goes before.
She goes before.
Because she reaches out to Charlize Theron. Okay, mm-hmm. Let's back up.
Right.
So Rictus... comes out behind the Gigahorse,
mm-hmm,
and is sort of acting menacing,
yeah,
to the war rig.
Can I also take a moment to interrupt that thought,
yeah,
because I think this comes before, and say that there's this beautiful bit, this moment that I never noticed before, where two of the wives are... this must come right about now, because it's
holding
Nux
hands?
Who's driving. But they've got their hands on Nux,
yeah,
as if to like give him... like. All they can really do to help right there is just sort of lend him strength somehow.
Yeah, and they're holding their hands atop him. Yeah,
on
yeah.
top, yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Which is a nice little moment.
Also, just to play off that for a second, the cab is full of nurturing here, because They have two of the wives attending to Old Boney.
Old Boney.
Who's still bleeding the fuck out.
Right. Sweetly, though.
And then the two...
She's sort of like the eye of the storm, in a way. It's like she doesn't even know that she's there anymore.
That's a beautiful thought, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's kind of transcended the moment into something that's just like, she's along for the ride. And the wives are holding their hands on top of Nux. So it's a very nurturing environment.
And I still love that they don't show the severity of that wound.
Yeah,
I agree. We get a little blood on the... But you know if we went around behind and lift up her hair, it would be gruesome.
It'd be bad. Yeah. She's not doing well.
Right.
But she's holding on because she's Old Boney.
Right. So Cheeto,
earlier in the film...
Yes.
If you'll recall...
Let us remind you.
Decided to run off back to the Carmada... Saying, right. I don't want to go with you guys. He'll forgive us.
He'll take us back.
He'll take us back. We should not have done what we did. This is too much for me. A coward's move. A coward's move, by all accounts. Mm-hmm. And then it just doesn't work out. They drag her back.
Right.
So this is the same character who now, again, goes, Rictus, right. Help me.
Right. And so Rictus is totally in line with what she did before.
Exactly. We think, not again, Cheeto. I thought, not again, woman whose name I don't know yet. And then
I
came up with it. Why should it not be Cheeto? And Ian Tavner's going to fucking have my head.
Well, he'll have your head for something, if not
I
that.
Travis
is so proud of himself. He's got this shit-eating grin that he cannot control because he is so excited to have made the right call for once.
I did something right, maybe, allegedly.
Maybe.
Possibly.
Probably not.
Capable. Stupid.
Toast.
Okay. Oh, also, we should mention Toast is in the front seat of a Morton Joe's Giga Horse in the past. She's wearing shotgun.
But not... I think she goes after Cheeto gives herself up. I think Toast gets taken.
Toast has been taken for a while.
Oh, that's right, because Toast got taken by the polecat.
Mm-hmm.
Right, she's in the front seat.
Which will come into play in a second. Rictus is feeling pretty good about himself.
Right. They're in a power position.
The noise I think he makes in his head is... And he grabs Cheeto, lifts her up like a majestic warrior.
Yeah, and he's like...
And puts her up behind him.
Yeah.
And now he's like, I should get some more wives. He's like, this is a good idea.
Right.
So he jumps over to the big rig, the war rig.
What we don't get and what I miss is Morton Jew hold... Or Morton Jew.
Morton Jew.
Wow.
Oh,
that's a good one. I'm going to...
Should we edit that out?
No, I'm gonna have to come up with exactly why that's important.
A Morton Jew.
A Morton Jew.
Oh my
I'm the Morton Jew.
You're the Morton Jew. You're Lowenthal. Colin, a Morton Jew.
The worst Jew. But you know how before when they take Toast, he puts up one finger.
Yeah.
We don't get like two down. Yeah. Which, you know, I mean, we don't need, and he certainly, you know, has got his hands full with trying to keep
it would have been
in front of the...
It's cool to talk about, but I think if you saw
it, I think
it
would have been the wrong choice.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, where's number three?
Right. And he may not even see that Cheeto's come over,
because
he's probably
he
got his eyes on the road.
He's doing a thing right now.
Right.
So he's probably got his hands full trying to convince Zoe Kravitz to act better. Zing!
I knew you would come around to it.
Zing!
So you left off by saying that so Rictus goes back,
grabs the love of my life by her dainty, beautiful, pale arm.
Right. He says, well, I got this one's coming. I might as well get the rest of them.
Yeah. Grabs the dag and tries to lift her out.
And she's like, fuck you, Rictus.
I'm crazy, she seems to say. I will do whatever.
Wait, in her eyes.
Yeah. What happens?
I'd rather die than, right. Yeah, I mean, she fights it.
Yeah, but how does...
I don't remember exactly what distracts him at that point.
I relied on you for this moment because I forgot.
Oh, you know
what
it is?
Is it Nux?
I think it's one of the other Vivellini comes rushing him and tries to hit him with the rifle.
I think you're right. And then he grabs...
Because that's when she gets thrown off.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Let's just pretend that's how it is.
Let's just pretend that he's...
You and I
both know it's not what happens, Yuri. I can't lie to the listeners like that.
Especially because they know better than us.
Exactly. That's really the main thing.
I told you we'd get it wrong.
Motherfucker. Why doesn't he take her out of the fucking cab?
Well, she's fighting...
There's your four-minute sequences.
Why can't we do four minutes before Max gets a hold of him? You know what it is?
I don't, Yuri.
I think I figured it out.
Tell me, please.
In a glorious way. He hears Cheeto call out to...
I think you're right, to Furiosa
to help her up, and he turns around and he's like, fuck, I can't believe I fell for that.
Yeah, you're right.
And in a beautiful turn for Cheeto, she wasn't She wasn't retreating. She wasn't giving up.
She was a Trojan horse.
She was a Trojan horse.
Sneaking in her boss, Furiosa.
Exactly.
Paul would be able to tell us more about that.
I'm sure he would. That'll be another episode.
We'll do another episode of that. Okay, so that's right. So he turns around. Now he's all befuddled. He's got two women behind him.
Right. He's like, what do I do? Do I go back to the Giga Horse to try to solve this Furiosa problem? Or do I keep going over here?
The noise he makes in his head this time is this. Huh.
That is exactly right.
Huh. So
his his brain, it's too much for him to figure out.
He's not a clever
fellow. He's not a thinker.
No, not a thinker. Good-looking guy.
Good-looking guy.
Not a thinker.
So Cheeto now pulls Furiosa up into the back of the Giga Horse, where she had been struggling to get on and, you know, almost falling off.
Furiosa picks up a boomstick.
So many people fall off of vehicles in this sequence. When Max leaps to get, I mean, it's people trying to get in, falling off out of the wheels left and right.
All right. So actually, let's go back there for a second. So Max clocks all the people, bashes them with some fire guitars, jumps on the back of the war rig, climbs up. The people behind him are leaping onto him. He's kicking them off. They're falling beneath the wheels of the doof wagon. It's chaos.
Yep.
So he climbs up. He's running atop, getting to the front of the war rig. While all this is happening, Nux is now driving.
Mm-hmm.
Furious is on the back of the Giga Horse, along with Cheeto and Rictus.
Mm-hmm. Rictus is now on the front of the war ring,
right? And then
right by the superchargers. Thank you, Christian, for explaining to you know that we were like you know where the engine comes up out of the hood and looks badass, and you squeeze gasoline into it.
Yeah,
supercharger.
That's the thing.
Yeah, that's the thing.
At some point in here, Nux intentionally slams on the brakes to throw someone off.
Right.
Or to disrupt something.
I think you're... Or accelerates.
He accelerates to
crash into the back of the...
Is it to do...
Maybe it's to get Furiosa closer.
He knocks somebody there.
Does he...
Maybe it's Rictus. I don't know. Anyway, a couple things happen here in quick succession. I'm just gonna say what they are, and we can put them in order.
Or maybe he does slam on the brakes a little bit, so Rictus starts to fall. No, because that happens later, I think.
Mm.
And Rictus is holding on to the supercharger, and then he lifts it out, and
It's in this sequence. That happens in the next sequence.
That happens in the next sequence. Yeah.
Okay, so here's some things that happen. Furiosa picks up one of the boomsticks and throws it in the back of the Giga Horse. It causes a pretty bitchin' explosion.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing out one of the head guys. Is this the guy we've seen him before?
Yes, this has always been sort of Immortan Joe's
sidekick.
Bodyguard. Yeah.
He comes out, he starts
to wrestle.
Little but Mighty.
Yeah.
Is that his actual name?
That's what we're going to call him.
Okay. LBM.
He's an Imperator something or other.
Yeah. So he comes out, he starts to fight Furiosa. Bangs her real fucking good. And here's what I want to talk about in this sequence.
Okay.
This segment of this sequence is the music all of a sudden drops out to bear sort of more of a minimalist feel and to some drum hits and to some things because the hits get brutal for the next 45 seconds or so. Mm-hmm. Furiosa goes down so fucking hard. You hear it and it hurts to hear it. And then coming into this fight sequence between Mad Max and Rictus, all those hits feel so hard.
Yeah.
They hurt. You just hearing them hurts, and the interplay between sound design and music here is spectacular.
Yeah,
I just wanted
helps to convey the brutality of what's going
on.
Oh,
it's brutal.
And the pain. Yeah.
So at some point in here, one of the Vavolini.
Also, getting back to the Vavolini in a second, we talked about the how Immortan we sort of zoom in on his gear shift, the skull gear shift, in a similar fashion. Once Furiosa leaves the war rig, and Nux is driving, he picks up the dagger that was used to stab her, that was her gear shift, and slams it back in to take sort of control.
It's again. Pretty badass.
Yeah.
Nux is getting pretty badass here.
Yeah.
He's really coming along.
He's right. He's ascending to this point that we will end on with him.
He's driving like a boss.
Right.
He's being a boss right
now. He's become a hero.
So I think it's Rictus who's attacking one of the Vavolini.
Right, because she comes and swings at him with the rifle. She says, "Hey, big boy."
Oh, that's right. She hits him. He punches. This is what happens.
Right.
She hits. This is earlier. This is what happens. She hits him. He punches her in the face.
Right, and throws her off the.
That's the next woman. So he punches that one in the face. Okay. The woman, after he punches her in the face, we cut to a different Vavolini who sees it and she's like, "What are you doing to my friend?" And she runs over, swings a rifle. He grabs it, tosses her off.
Right. Right.
And it's just, it's like, oh, there goes right. Vivalini right off
You're the, right, well, you're right. It was because another Vivalini was threatened that she went so, yeah, like, batshit crazy and went swinging at him. And we already know that her rifle's empty because Max uses the round that's in it.
Yeah, that's right. So, behind her, as she rushes up to swing her rifle at
And she was Rictus, one of the ones who was in the back of the war rig the whole time. You remember how there were two of them back there, sort of, sweep,
doing shit.
Yeah.
We see Max in the background of that shot. He looks up, sees Rictus. He's like, I gotta fight this guy now. This is gonna be a piece of shit. This is gonna suck. This day's gonna suck.
Yep.
So he picks up a skull.
Or so she hands it. She, I think the Vivalini hands it to him.
Okay.
I think she says, here.
Here's a skull.
Here's a skull.
We're out of bullets, but here's a skull.
Right. We'll use what we've got. And yeah, he gets Rictus's attention, draws it back from, you know, going to the. To try to get Furiosa.
He throws a skull
at his
head.
He throws a skull at the back of his head.
It's kind of funny. It donks him pretty good.
Yeah.
Speaking of things with two eye holes and a nose hole, I went bowling last weekend.
You did?
I got a turkey. I got three strikes in a row, Yuri.
That's a turkey?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I don't know bowling terms.
You gotta be fucking kidding me.
I know what a strike is. I know what a spare is.
You don't know what a turkey is?
I don't know what a turkey is.
A turkey's when you bowl three strikes in a row. Three frames in a row. Three strikes in a row. I did it.
Are you a bowler?
I mean, do you know? Not at all. It was
so you're saying it was pure luck?
I'm saying it was a combination.
Did you
of
run
luck and
down
skill.
The lane and kick them over? Is that how you get
Yuri,
the strike?
Don't. I didn't cheat. I did it naturally.
Okay.
I did it naturally.
I don't think I've ever gotten three strikes in a row.
Same. That was the first time.
Good job.
And
what do you bowl about once a year, once every couple of years?
Once every couple of years, I would say.
Okay.
And it was in front of a lot of spectators. It made me feel good about myself.
Oh. Right. I'm very happy for you.
Thanks, man. It wasn't a skull.
Where was it?
Highland Park Bowl. It's beautiful. You should go.
That's the new place by the people who did. The Big Barrel place.
Yes, it's great. It's
and
really
Sassafras, I think the 1900 group.
Yes, it's very very good.
I've been wanting to go there, but I had a fucking baby, and my nights of going to hip bars that are also bowling alleys are limited.
I'm one cool dude, Yuri.
You are. You always have been.
So, anyway, he throws a skull at his head.
Right.
And donks him. This is the noise Rictus thinks now, which is... Yeah. And he turns around to see Max. He's like, oh, I'm going to fuck you up. Takes Max. Max runs up, immediately outclassed, then outmuscled. Rictus grabs him in the face, crushes his face, and then throws him against the back of the war rig.
Yeah.
The tanker.
Which we heard from Greg Van Borsum almost... fucking killed Tom Hardy a couple times.
It's crazy. It's so hard, and the sound design is so good there.
Yeah.
He donks him so good.
Yeah.
Clunk.
It was actually much, much, much bigger than that.
Clunk!
It's still...
Clunk!
Just stop trying. Stop trying.
Okay.
Let's just live with the memory.
He hits him real hard is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So now... Furios is battling this Imperator guy.
Right.
Who hisses at her face in a really cool way.
Well, which is a callback to Wes's hissing in Road Warrior.
Oh, good.
It's another one of those George Miller...
Wiz.
We
have to do that every time.
I know. We gotta dial it in.
Wiz. Wicked pisser.
Greg Van Borsum.
Greg. Wiz.
Right. Mark Sexton, Ian Tavner,
Brit is New Zealand.
Oh, right, Brit, right, Brit, and
Jermaine
and Brit.
Brit.
Wow, we've really gone off the rails.
This is our best
pronouncing
episode.
Things in horrible accents.
No, I think this is our best episode. Followed up our best episode with our best episode.
With our best episode. That's the only way to do it. As we approach the end, it just has to get better and better every episode.
Because honestly, listen, if you're watching a film, you don't turn it off an hour and 48 minutes into a two-hour film. If you're listening to this podcast, you're fucking in it.
You're fucking committed.
You gotta
take it all the way, especially now that the end is in sight. You can't walk away now.
I want to say this to you guys. I'm saving all my most brilliant revelations for the last four or five episodes. And I'm gonna say them sometimes, and you don't know when. So you have to keep listening.
Okay, fair enough.
I've committed myself to that. Okay. Sorry, we need to get
to
this.
We're almost at the end of this 4-minute segment.
We're doing great. So
you're doing great.
Thank you. So wait, what happens next?
So he's just gotten slammed up against the back of the thing.
Brutal hits.
Everything's sort of gone to shit. You know, one of the engines is out. Oh. Furiosa's in the back of the Giga Horse. Things are not going
great.
She looks
very pained. Yep. Morton Joe pulls out a little six-shooter type guy and holds it against Zoe Kravitz's head.
Right.
Just as an extra.
Extra incentive. Don't come in here.
I will blow her head off.
Right.
We're getting very close.
Which for him, to threaten one of his own wives with death is a big deal, because remember how broken up he was about Splendid.
He thinks the same about Zoe Kravitz that we do. He's like, I'm going to lose one. It's going to be
be this one.
I mean, he's like, I'm kind of happy we grabbed this one now. Because I was sad we got this one earlier, but now I'm happy to grab this one because of the way it's turned out. Also important to note,
yes,
is that I'm a terrible, mean person. The other important thing to note is that we're now in the fucking cage. We're in the line,
right?
Which means it's too late. Furiosa, there's very little she can do at this point because they're in line. There's no way for the war rig to get around the Giga Horse now. So that's a bit of a problem that we'll sort out next week.
Yeah, we will sort it out. And if not next week, then the next episode that we talk about 4 minutes.
Right, the next
time. Because I'm going to cram as many guests in here as we can.
I don't like that word, cram.
Cram? Cram. Cram.
There's really aggressive eye contact happening from Yuri at this point. Let me just recap and make sure I have all this straight. Okay. Because I think this is basically where... Oh, also... Ending frame, we get a shot of, and we tweeted this, there's Nux's boot on the
accelerator. If I'm good, which I might not be.
May or may not have happened. But Nux is, so we've got a viewpoint of all the pedals in the war rig. We have Nux's boot on the shoe, the foot measuring thing. Mm-hmm. And then the
brake. It doesn't even fit in it. I just noticed that.
Yeah, it's not for him.
Too big. Yeah.
It's very good detail. It's made for her. You know how in cars... The rubber part of the brake pad always falls off and it's annoying. Has that happened before? It's happened to me a couple times. This one's tied on with barbed wire.
It's been stitched on with barbed wire.
And I think that's such a cool detail. I would literally have never noticed.
Colin Gibson, you crazy motherfucker.
It's so smart. The brake rubber is stitched onto the rusting brake pedal in the war rig. Great.
So good.
I think that's it, right? So is that what we got up to? So Nux is driving. The old Boney's still alive.
Barely.
Yeah, but a couple of the Lovellini died in the sequence. Right. The wives are still around.
Max is about to get crushed by Rictus.
Yeah, Rictus is fucking up Mad Max. Cheeto and Furiosa are in the Giga Horse. Furiosa's getting
dying.
Her fucking ass kicked by this Imperator guy who hissed at her. It was super scary. Morton Joe is driving the leader of the pack. Holding a gun to Toast's head. It goes Giga Horse, War Rig, Doof Warrior behind them. I think that's it.
I think you might be right.
We're prepping ourselves for the big last action sequence next week, Yuri.
Yeah.
The big one.
Shit.
Where it all comes together. And one amazing, dramatic finale of action conclusions.
Oh my god. My name is Yuri Lowenthal.
My name is Travis Sintel.
And you are... awaited.